Dear people, we will continue this morning our study in the book of Colossians. We are in chapter 2, and we will pick up this morning at verses 6 and 7. Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, and I'll read in your hearing verses 6 and 7. Here, as we've gone along, Paul's writing this letter to the Colossian believers, and he says, if we get to this point in verse 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Two small verses here, but most of the commentators say at this point, Paul the Apostle is making a change in what he's about to say. His very basic ministry now, as we have seen, Paul's ministry of all the aspects of it, his ministry changed at this point of a ministry of exhortation. And we will see as we go on in this book is the reason why Paul comes to this point now to give these admonitions to the brethren in the church, which will go all the way down to verse 16 of this chapter. And he's telling them how he wants them to live, but he's setting before them the very things that they would know, and he knows that have taken place in him by God himself through the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two verses, 6 and 7, is a powerful two verses that Paul is using to show what has taken place in the life of the believer, how they are different than what they were before, what makes them to be what they are. And as you and I even look at this, we should take these particular dimensions that Paul mentioned here for ourselves, and they should be the very things that we would use to exhort ourselves in our walking with God. Now, Paul, in his ministry of exhortation, he says that basically he said here again, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Now, all of us see and understand is that the commentators, Paul is now making a transition in what he's about to say, which is noted by the word therefore. And as we look at this word, the word is followed by the phrase, as you have received Christ Jesus, which reminds us of the truths that Paul has given thus far in this very chapter, in this letter, I should say. Paul mentions that Christ is the ruler of both the old creation and the new creation in chapter 1, verses 15 down to 20. And also, he says, all wisdom and knowledge is in Christ Jesus, chapter 2, verse 3. He reminds them that they have heard and received the message of Jesus the Lord of the universe and submitted themselves unto his service. We find that in chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, and also verses 21 to verse 23. The focus of verse 6 is really the rest of the letter, most people can say, is on the admonition that he gives to the brethren and how and what they must see their lives as. He says, therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. This verse brings to mind the Jewish way of handling down the moral law, its interpretations from one generation to another. The verb here, received, it is more than basically just taking something that someone gives it to you. It has an idea of giving what the Old Testament has been done, what God himself has done as he brings his truth down from one generation to the next. Moses received the Torah at Sinai and handed it to Joshua. Joshua to the elders, and the elders to the prophets to the men of the synagogue. And even in Jesus' day, he can say that all these things which have been handed down to them, Jesus can say, they have turned from the traditions that has been given to them. And he says in Mark 7 and 8, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men. But when we see this word receive here, hear what Paul is saying, that what you have received has come down through and from God. And though we know Paul, what he's speaking about now in this particular aspect is the gospel which has come. Paul has been very well taught by the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ is not bringing anything new to them today, other than the fact that what God had promised to do in the Old Testament tradition given to them is now being fulfilled, has been fulfilled in him. And so here Paul says, you received. And what you have received is that very truth that God has given. Paul says this way in Philippians 4 and 9, verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In Colossians 4 and 17, in this very book, he says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Receive Jesus Christ the Lord. Though the word used here refers to traditions about Christ, Paul is focused on the apostolic teaching about Christ and his significance in the life of the brethren, or the life of believers. Yes, the scriptures teach us all about Christ, but there is a significance of Christ in each and every one of us. And this is what Paul is speaking or moving to. The truth which they received about him is what Paul is now focusing upon. It is the anointed of God that is Christ. It is the historical Savior, Jesus. And as the sovereign Lord, Jesus Christ the Lord. Paul is not just throwing some words together that sounds pretty good. Each one of them have its particular meaning in it. And Paul is telling to them, this is what you must understand. Douglas Moo states that what Paul is saying is that Christ Jesus the Lord is really what he's focusing upon. And he's saying it is a concise or brief way of saying that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Chapter 1 and verse 15. The head of the body, the church. Chapter 1, verse 18. The mystery of God, which has been embodied and now brought to light where we can see it and understand it. Chapter 1, verse 27. Chapter 2, verse 2. All wisdom and knowledge is in him. Chapter 2 and verse 3. They received him. This was transmitted to them. This truth came down now and given to these Colossian believers, as all who Paul has preached to up to this very day. And they have laid hold of all the truth about Jesus and put all of their trust in him. Paul says, therefore, as you have received. Now, he's not there to just focus upon the fact that what has been told about him, that you have received Christ himself. The Apostle Paul wants them to understand that though there's a body of doctrine taught through even the Old Testament and what's brought down to us, it is not just doctrine that you received. You've received Christ himself. You received him. And Paul says, and as he builds it up and tells all that you have received, but notice what he says at the end of verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. Now here, the word walk is used figuratively. It actually means to live, or your manner of life. Let it be, as it were, deposited in Jesus Christ himself. The way you receive him, so walk in him. Keep on walking. You have received him. Now, at this present time, keep walking in him, which means their present conduct must conform to the doctrine that they were taught and confessed to embrace, knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you have trusted Christ to save you, trust him also to daily teach you guide you, protect you, and bless you. You see, we are not having a Jesus that as we now come to him and know and love him, he saved us. He's someplace far away up in the heavens. And so therefore, we have to try to get our steps right and make sure we live a life which is conducive to him and one that will be pleasing to him. He says, no, you received him. You have him. He's in you. He's present with you. Now walk in him. So walk is what he's saying. This isn't a Christian walk, a Christ-like walk. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12, the apostle wrote, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Ephesians 4 and 1, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, of you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. The apostles are showing theirs that now it's not some kind of walk that we kind of make up in our own mind. You know, I heard some things about Christianity. I heard some things. I even read some things in the Bible. So I'm trying my best to do this. No, he says the way you do it, you walk in him. He has to be the prominent thing in our lives. He has to be the one who's there. And this is not awful. Jesus Christ himself taught us the same thing, that he is in us and we are in him. If we're not in him, there's no life in us. And so here Paul is saying now, well, now that you have him, you received him. And he's saying now walk in him. Let him be the one who guides you. He says, so walk. The whole idea is that now your whole life, the manner of your life is going to be in such a way that I'm walking in all that I know that Christ has and what Christ has taught me and what Christ is actually showing and guiding me in my daily life. Not that I have, and Paul is indicating here that you have to go back and try to remember some things that Christ says. But be dear people, in our day, we do have to do just about that. We have to remember some things. So verse 6 here, Paul says now, after all he's given us in the first chapter and up to this point in the second chapter, he says, therefore, as you have now received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So he's indicating how our way of life, how you and I are going to live, what our life will be like. And this is what he's showing to us. But now in verse 7, he moves on. He says here, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in him, in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Paul is now speaking about what has taken place in the heart and soul of the believer. He gives four dimensions of walking in Christ, or we can say the way of life in Christ Jesus. These four dimensions express the nature of the spiritual work of salvation in the heart and life of the Christian. These are powerful things Paul is saying here. And he says, now that you have received him, and then he tells what has taken place. Paul is not saying in verse 7, these are things we must do, but these are things which has been done in us. Rooted. Notice what he says, having been firmly rooted. This takes us to the whole idea of horticulture. We see plants and trees, and we understand that. And the picture is given of a tree or a plant which has sunk deep roots way down deep into the earth, and you can't get it out no matter what. I was out there in the front yard about a few weeks ago taking off some of the old shrubs I had, and one of the bushes I had out there, their roots were so hard. It took me 2 days to get it out. And I had to do something. I couldn't get all the way out at the bottom. I had to do something, use something, and cut those jokers off, rooted them. And Paul says here, having been firmly rooted, firmly rooted. He uses this picture of the roots going down so deep, real deep, and nothing can get him out. But he also mentions that he puts something else with it. He said, not only firmly rooted, but he goes on and he gives us now a picture of architecture. He said, build up in him. And I hope your mind is getting a picture. Here is the architect or the very building itself, build up in him, being built up in him. And Paul is saying too, and you notice here, this is what has taken place now. He's saying being here, is this is the very thing that is now is in operation right now. It's not like the building has been built and therefore now it's all finished and nothing is going to harm it or whatever. He says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Now being, the work is going on. Paul is saying where you are being built up. The picture is of a building strong. The structure is strong and sturdy. It can be able to stand all the elements that come against it, be hurricane, be winds or whatever, be any kind of bomb that hit, that building is going to be standing. Paul is indicating here, that's what's happening with you. This is what God is doing. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And now he says, walk in him, the manner of life, the very thing you should say that is in Christ. But he says, God is doing something in you right now. He sent the roots of the faith and who you are deep down into soil, which it cannot be pulled up. And actually what he's doing now, he's building you up in him. He's building you up. He's strengthening you. He's making you stronger and stronger. And here's what the apostle is saying. A strong structure, a solid and strong one, able to withstand whatever comes. And Paul says, this is what is taking place. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. And he goes on, he says, and established in your faith. And established in your faith. The word here really has the idea of confirmed, established that is, or reliable. Establish have the sense of permanence. Nothing can shake it. Many say the idea suggests of the judicial or legal setting. What has been settled and pronounced cannot be changed. Isn't that wonderful, dear people? See, we don't have Christianity today. We are not saved in Christ today and lost tomorrow. No such thing. Now, there are some people who thought they were saved and they didn't have it, but those who are saved, you're not ever lost. You're standing firm. Nothing can take that away. And Paul, again, as he leads to all that has come down through the whole Judaic system and how it stands firm, and it stands firm for Jerusalem and Israel. Paul is saying it stands firm for the Christian now. You built up, you established. You are standing there. Nothing can take hold. Nothing can move you. Nothing can cause you to be moved. Speaking of what is secure, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 6, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. Isn't that a pretty picture? All that he says about Christ. And what you saw, you want to know what it all is? Look at him. Or look at her. You see it there. In other words, it's not just the fact that it is an inward spiritual thing that Paul is saying, but this is going to be something that is seen outward. And all can see and know that this man, this woman, boy or girl, they are new. There's something about them that has changed. And he says, established in your faith, just as you were instructed. And Paul goes on and he says, here is what we see. Here's what you need to understand. But he says also, he adds to this establishment, just as you were instructed. This word looks back to all that they heard of the truths and received in their hearts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Their present stability in the gospel was due to what they received from Paul, or I should say from Epaphras at that time, who spoke, but what they received from God himself, from Jesus Christ, as through the Holy Spirit, brought the word of God to these brethren. The truths of eternal faith implanted in their hearts by the preaching of the gospel. This is the thing that took place. And dear people, what Paul is saying to them and what we should see right now, there is something in the truth of the gospel that is brought into the hearts of sinners. And that truth that is brought in there is not just making a person to change his or her life for a period of time, to kind of look good before the masses, you know, in the family or something. You know, like I hear sometimes on the radio or the TV, they're saying, if you wanted to accept Christ in your heart right now, say this prayer and it's done. I know a lot of people who said prayers and it doesn't count anyway. Before I became known to the biblical truth of Reformed faith, there were some people I told, say this prayer and you'll be saved. It wasn't long after that man or that young lady was far from grace. And that taught me that saying a prayer don't change anybody. It has to be the work of God. And this is what Paul is saying. This is all in Christ whom you received. You received him, and this is what is being done now. And he says here, this structure is powerful. But notice how he finishes this off. He says, overflowing with gratitude. Let me read that verse for you and show you how it fits together. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. The last one points to the picture of what the Christian actually sees and what we see in the Christian, how the Christian reacts because of what has been done in the Christian. The changes that have taken place, what is it? Overflowing with gratitude. The Christian life is a life of thanksgiving and joy, is what he's saying. Overflowing is a picture of a liquid being poured into a cup or jug or something, and it's got to reach the top, but you don't stop. It's flowing over. It keeps pouring in, and it's flowing over. And he says, this is what has happened. Overflowing with gratitude. Here, the apostle is saying the Christian life is a life of thanksgiving and joy. It's a life filled with joy and thanksgiving. Overflowing is the thing that we see. The grace of God is the operative force, and it produces such joy and gratitude in the life of the Christian. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have sorrow sometime. But oh, even with our sorrows, we can say, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And this is the very thing that we look and see. And Paul says, here is what we ought to have and how we ought to live and work before us. Now, the idea is said in many parts of scriptures that the gratitude that we have, Paul says in Romans 15 and 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This blessed joy is giving as the truth of God's come to our heart. The changes that have made, we're no longer those who are rebels against God. We are with him. He is with us. He's guiding us. He's teaching us. He's helping us in our daily lives. And the gratitude comes for that. We are thankful to what he's doing. Paul in Philippians 1 and 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. That love is something that is produced out of that gratitude, that it will abound, it will go more and more. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another, and for all people, just as we also do for you. The Apostle Paul knows this very idea of gratitude is something that comes into the heart. Why would he know that? Because it happened to him. He knows what he is going through. He knows what he had and how he has changed. And so he can say, this is really what it is. It's what it's all about. The Apostle Paul is not just, as it were, a pen under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing, and these things have nothing to do with him. He is writing what he knows and what he's experiencing. And so he can tell it in this way because this is what God has done for him. Just remember the place of Paul and who he was. We're reading about him. And as he has changed and come into know the Lord Jesus Christ and he is delivered. Now, they don't like this guy. They're ready to put him to death. But Paul, he knows that what God has given him and what Christ has given him, there's nothing he needs to worry about. And it is believing, I believe it is the right truth, that while Paul is writing this letter, he's in Rome. He's sitting in a prison. Some say he may have been tied, chained to a Roman soldier. He can't do what he would normally do. But he is peeling out, pouring out, giving to the church all the things that Christ has done. One will probably scratch his head, but Paul, how can you say all this and you sitting in prison somewhere? Paul says, no, indicating that this prison changed nothing what Christ has done in me. And this is the glory of it all. So he says here, and that there, and overflowing with gratitude. The commentators tell us that as you look at that last phrase, overflowing with gratitude, gratitude is the dominant word here. Or gratitude really is thanksgiving. Paul gives thanks for the Colossians in this letter, verse 3 in chapter 1. And go and to God for redemption in verse 12 of chapter 1. And he presses upon them to be thankful in verse 7 of chapter 2. So Paul said, this is the real thing you have to see. So Paul uses this wonderful picture to show what has taken place in the life of a Christian. And I hope this morning that you and I can see and say, now, I could see what the apostle is saying. God, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is showing us, here are some things that has taken place in us this morning. And that you and I ought to look at this and say, well, here is who I am even right now. Or maybe it may come to the point, this is the first time I really understood it at this point, who I am. I have received Jesus Christ as Lord, and I walk in him, and meaning the manner of life I have is in him. But these are the particular things that he has done. And notice, the church has instructed, dear people, to make sure that their lives are lived according to the gospel that has changed them. This is what Paul is saying. You have to live in such a way that you show that your lives are living this way. This is the admonishing to all believers. Paul is saying that to the brethren there in Colossae, and he's saying it to us today. Make sure your life is according to the gospel and that it has been changed, and all can see that change. We must live our lives according to the truth that we have received. Brother, there are kind of all kind of schemes out there. People tell you, or so-called pastor tell you, this is what you got to do because you're a Christian. What does the Bible say we have to do? This is what Paul says. The truth of the gospel has been handed down to us by our new lives in Jesus Christ. Christ has now given that to us, and that we have to walk in it. Paul uses the word received, as doctrinal truth has come to you. But Paul says the truth has come in the person of Jesus Christ. So it's not so much receiving just the doctrine, it's receiving Christ himself. May your minds go back even through this week, all the places where Christ says, I am in you and you am in me. You can't do nothing without me. And know, yeah, I am the vine, you are the branches. Unless you are connected to me, you can't bear fruit. Think about all the pictures that is done in that way that shows that we must be connected to Christ. And this is what he's showing. This biblical teaching comes to us, to the sinner. The sinner is now in Jesus Christ the Lord. Notice in second place, Paul admonishes the brethren to walk in him. To walk in him. He affirms that true salvation came to them through Jesus Christ, that he tells them to walk in him. He is speaking about their way of life, dear people. He is saying now, You no longer live the same way you live. Yes, there's things we have to do in the world. We got jobs, we got families, we got all that. But here Jesus Christ tells us how to do and use all those things to the glory of God. And so he said, walk in him. He is speaking of the way of life. This means to walk according to the word of Christ. He speaks of every areas of our lives. He's telling us that there's no area of our life that we should not walk in it. We should not do it. We should not take part of it without Christ, the one leading and guiding us. And Paul tells us, and there are many places you can tell in the scripture where he shows us that. I want to show you to one particular place. It's in this very book here. And now Paul is going on. He's going to find out what he says. But notice what he says in chapter 3 of this book of Colossians and how he tells them. And I'm just going to read it. And I think reading it will be enough for each and every one to get to our hearts and see what Paul is saying. There's a difference now. And this is the way you walk in is what he's saying. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You notice what he said. Now look at life differently from this point on. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And then in verse 5 down, and I'll read down to verse 11, he tells, but he go all the way to the end of the chapter with this idea, what Paul picks up here. He says in verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. In other words, don't let your hands, your eyes, your nose, or whatever draw you into sin. Consider them dead when it comes to this. Consider them dead. Impurity, all kinds of things he says. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. He's saying now, what is idolatry really when we think about it? It is setting up another God. If you're walking in Christ, you have received Christ, no other God comes before Christ. So that's going to take place in the actual way we live. He goes on, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked. In other words, that was your manner of life when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. In other words, he's saying, don't even speak the way you used to speak. And he says in verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self, its evil practices. He keep going right back to Christ. We're new, we're not the same. You laid aside the old self and with its evil practices. Brother, we should be thinking every day, does this thing fall into the category of evil practices? Well, I got to get this out of my mind and out of my heart. Verse 10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewing of at which there is no distinction. And he calls about all who have come and brought into Christ Jesus. But he goes on and he tells and he says, all the things that you would say, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. We're going to be changed. We're going to start thinking differently. We're going to start acting differently. That's what Paul is saying. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also you should him or forgive everyone. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of iniquity. And Paul goes in. I'm not going to read all of it, but this is what he says. He's showing. And if you look in verse 18, he talks about even the family. Wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting unto the Lord. Not as what the world says, and now that's a good thing. This is what a wife should do and how she should act, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, he can tell them how they must act. Fathers, how you must care for your children. And then in that society, he's saying even that there's slaves there, slaves, just how you would act. And you who own slaves, you should act also. He goes into this whole thing. And brother, what I'm saying and pointing to this, this walk is not something that we have, and we have all the spiritual ideas about it and come lofty thoughts of what I have to do and think. He said, no. As one man say, it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. I'm walking. How am I treating my brother? How am I treating my sister? How am I doing in all these things? What did I say harsh the other day? Is that going to come out of my mouth again? We should say, no, no, no. And this is what it is. And Paul says this, your way of life has to be that which conforms to the Word of God. But then he tells them about the spiritual changes that have taken place in their lives by their attachment to Jesus Christ. Firmly rooted in Him, built up in Him. And this is what he's saying. So now, since that is the case, we have the help we need in order to make the changes that show ourselves to be true, loving Christian men and women, and boys and girls, if that be the case. We don't try to do this on our own. See, this is the problem. We try to change sometimes things because we say, oh, I was harsh that day, so I'm a remember this and not do that no more. No. Christ is in us. His Spirit is in us. Lord God, I confess this sin, and I will not walk in that way anymore. And watch God, by the grace, make it where we find ourselves not doing it anymore. This is what the apostle is saying. It's what he says, firmly rooted in Him. He says, this is where we are. That's where you are right now. Is your faith like strong roots, dear brethren, so deep that nothing can uproot it or destroy your trust in Jesus Christ? Is that your faith right now? Or are you thinking every now and then, I'm not sure if I'm saved because this thing keep hanging on right here. And it's something you may know is really off and it's in a whole area of sin. And but you say, I've been fighting that thing as much as I can. And, you know, it seems like it still want to hang there. But brethren, I say, if that's the case, and if you know you're fighting, fight even harder. Plead to Christ to give the strength that is necessary to even do it. He says you've been established in the faith through the biblical truths. He says, really, that faith is unshakable. Nothing can deter or change the believer's heart from Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, we in different stages of our walk with Christ. All of us may not be at the same level. But what Paul is saying here is that with Christ in you, Christ is the one who's going to be bringing you on from faith to faith. And he says here, like a building, you're going to stand. Just think of yourself as this. I tell you, we some weak folk, aren't we? Mankind will have nothing he can boast about from God's vantage point. Old man in the world, he boasts about a lot of stuff, doesn't he? He boasts about his money, his education, and this and that and the other thing, and all his abilities. You know, he can boast to man, but he can't bring that boasting to God. And so here, what we can boast about is that Christ is in us. The Spirit is the one helping us. And we can say to God, yes, I missed it today, but by your grace, I won't miss it tomorrow. I won't do the same. And we have to say that we are not going to walk in these ways. In the ways of sin and wickedness, we are going to do what we need to do because Christ is in us. And that very last point we have like a strong building that is able to withstand all the strong forces that comes against it, overflowing with thanksgiving. Again, this thanksgiving is the very thing that we should see, the very thing that even ends in so joy. Notice what Paul says. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Notice what he says, what he would do and how we should be. He tells that the church there at Philippi and how they should do and all that they're going through, and their companions, their problems that accept, and their fellow workers that's going through some things. There's some situation between two women in a church, and he tells them to live in harmony. But then notice what he says in chapter 4, in verse 4. He says to them, and this is what it said to each and every one of us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's that thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Brethren, where are we today? Do we look at what Paul says here? Can we look at this and say, yeah, I have put all my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm in him. I walk in him. My life is now set upon doing one thing, pleasing Jesus Christ. We have to come to that point. That's what my life is all about. Doesn't matter what I am, what I may be, the degrees I have, my life is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, whatever we are, Christ in his own way, he's made us that. But we take whatever we are and we use that to his glory. And when we do that, we are pleasing him. And brethren, I think people can go and prosper by leaps and bounds in their faith when they get it turned around. Paul knows this is what they need. Paul can thank God for what he's done with these brethren, never even seen them, didn't preach to them, but he can thank God for where they are. And he said, oh, from what I hear, you have the work of the matter in you. Now, go forward. And I say to each and one of you this morning, dear Christian here, make sure you set your roots down deep. The roots have been set deep, I should say that. But put all your focus upon Christ. Upon him. Don't put job, don't put life, don't put family first, and then put Christ. Put him first. All those other things are going to come into shape. They're going to come into shape where they're going to give glory to him and give more peace and love to us and our very relationships that we are in, and especially our relationship in Christ Jesus. So here Paul reminds us, and I end off in saying this, Paul is saying this and giving this admonition because he's about to embark upon some of the things that's going to begin to hit the church. Some commentators say that already false gospels that got into the church or false religions, but some believe they had not gotten there yet. But Paul knows they're in the area and they're going to be bombarded with this. And so Paul sets them up. And brother, there's some gospels out there. At least, thanks to God, we can look at them, we know, and we look at them and say, that is not from God. But there's some out there. And you're going to stand firm. You're going to grow from faith to faith as you hold tight to that which you have put your faith in. You received Christ Jesus. Now, walk in him. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, thank you for your word to show us a little bit more in the depths of what it is that we have become. We are not just people who have selected a religion for our lives and that we live in some kind of way under a certain prescribed way that we should believe and what we should do, but we have been brought into the kingdom of God. We have been saved by the grace of you, the God, our Father, through your Son, who you sent to die in our place. And we thank you for that, O Lord God. But we know that as we live in this life, we're going to need those things to help us to live to your glory. And we plead this morning, Father, that we may learn what the Apostle Paul has here before us as he wrote to the Colossian church. May these things be in us, O God. May we be able through this week to say, well, we are firmly rooted and built up in Jesus Christ, and we walk. Our way of life is in him, established in him, and we are flooded in gratitude and thanksgiving to him and what he has done for us. So, Lord, bless us, bless this word to our hearts. In Jesus' name.